So I'm starting 2 Kings, just finished 1 Kings, and I'm preaching in 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings gives us lessons about our relationship with God. And you know what it's like to have the important love relationship with God in Christ Jesus. You're saved by faith. That means that you trust God for salvation. You trust God that it's true. And in your salvation, in your relationship with Him, God wants you, He wants all of us to walk with Him in actually more trust. He wants us to walk in faith that He's walking with us. He wants you to walk that way, that He's walking with you. And He wants you to live the beauty of your relationship with Him in certain ways, in complete confidence, complete comfort in going to Him and trusting Him with all your needs and in all your needs. And so when you go along and you're seeking out answers in life, direction, hope, the question is whether you're instantly going to God with it. Do you trust God? And are you trusting Him with every single thing, like anything that's little? Anything that's big, anything that you go through in life, everything. Think about things you're going through right now. Do you trust Him with it? He does not want this part of a relationship to be rare or random. He wants it to be a moment-to-moment thing. Trusting Him is your calling. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Go to God, trust Him with your life. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you bless us with your word from 2 Kings. Edify us, build us up. Lord, we do want to trust you, and we do trust you. Keep that in our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, looking into this, about 3,000 years ago, King Ahab in the northern kingdom of Israel, he died. And Ahab's son Ahaziah became king. And King Ahaziah was going along in life. He's living day to day like we all do. And we all know how life is. You know, it's a process of working through the calendar. You wake up. You face the day, then you go to sleep, you wake up, you face the next day, and it's on and on and on until you die. And in the process, you encounter difficulties. And you can always be certain you are going to encounter difficulties, upsets. We get upsets all the time. We're walking through them as a nation, we walk through them as families, business people, individuals. You will encounter accidents. It is the human experience. And this kind of thing happened to King Ahaziah. One day, Ahaziah fell through a window in his upper room, and he's badly injured. Fell way down to the ground. He became ill. Now, accidents and difficulties are the kinds of things which reveal where we are in our spiritual lives at the moment. They will open up your heart, reveal like a spotlight your spiritual life. I find this happening to me all the time. I see it with counseling. I see it with raising kids. So many areas. When things are going well, most people tend to act in a similar way. Listen to me. When things are going well, most people tend to act in a similar way, which is how? Like everything's going well. Or let me put it to you this way. Most people have a higher level of confidence when everything's going well. They're happier. Their faith seems strong and immovable. You know, they're resting, in a sense, in their circumstances. And when accidents come, difficulties come, things get shaken up, and the shakeups reveal where you are in your spiritual life, because now the circumstances become wake-up calls to arouse you from rest, and instead of resting in circumstances, you start to wrestle in your circumstances, and the wrestling is where your spiritual life is put in the spotlight. King Ahaziah should have already been going to God and trusting Him with his life. That should have been his spiritual life, but he had not been. And if Ahaziah had been in the right spiritual mind beforehand, then he would have been in the right spiritual mind now. But it didn't happen. You are called to be a disciple of Jesus, someone who worships God with your life. Everything you do, this is why the so-called secular and the so-called sacred really are one with us when we're Christians. And so knowing this and pursuing this manifestation as your way, this should be your way, it is a sign that you possess a right spiritual mind. And if you are intentionally seeking to manifest the life of Christ, then you will be ready when times of wrestling come. Now, intentionally seeking to manifest the life of Christ doesn't mean that you're always going to be consistent in every single little thought and action. No. It's just a constant taking every thought captive to the obedience, right? It's a constant turning to the Lord. It's just the human experience. But the thing about it is seeking Him, trusting Him, looking to Him is the right spiritual mind that should already be there. And so when you have it to draw upon. You go to God and you trust him with your life as your way. King Ahaziah was not living in a right spiritual mind. He had misplaced faith. He was not in the practice of going to God and trusting God as his daily bread. And so now that he's injured, he's sick, nothing changed. In fact, he went the opposite direction from God. He sent messengers out saying this, "Go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, about whether I will recover from this sickness." Well, now you might recognize the name Beelzebub. In the New Testament times, we read of Beelzebub was another name for the devil, for Lucifer, for Satan. The Pharisees who rejected Jesus blasphemed. They sinfully claimed that Jesus got his power from Beelzebub. With Ahaziah, our spiritual insights from God are showing us that he was doing the exact opposite of going to God with trusting him with his life. Ahaziah was going to the devil to trust him with his life. And Ahaziah is a picture of what is in a lot of religious-looking people that are all around us. Ahaziah was an Israelite. So that means that he was in covenant with God according to Abraham and Moses. All right? And he was a king by God's decree to lead God's covenant people. Ahaziah is a picture of the typical religious but spiritually dead play actor among God's people. Such people can easily assemble with us and they can be with God's people. They kind of blend in. The problem is that inside, they don't have a right spiritual heart. They don't have a right spiritual mind. There are peoples whose hearts have never been changed into being those who are faithful to our one true God alone. Now, when Christians who follow God's word have discernment from God's word, when they look at those other kinds of people, all they get spiritual confusion. And what Ahaziah did was just as sinfully and spiritually confusing as when his grandfather, King Jeroboam, made gold cows and told God's people that those cows needed to be worshipped instead of Yahweh. But at the same time this was going on with Ahaziah, there was another man who models what God wants from us, from you. He is Elijah. Elijah went to God consistently. He had that heart to do it. He readily and he eagerly received God's word. That's very important. He tuned in to listen to God's word, to follow God's word. He trusted God's word. He spoke God's word, which means he shared God's word. All things that we need to have in a right spiritual mind. Because your call is to do like Elijah. Go to God consistently, you know, receive his word, listen to it, trust it. Seek God's word with full conviction. Share it. Elijah's particular spiritual gift, his calling, was that he was a prophet of the Lord. And so, right in the midst of Ahaziah's misplaced faith, the angel of the Lord said to faithful Elijah, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers from King Ahaziah who are seeking Beelzebub, and say to them, 'Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going to inquire Beelzebub, the God of Ekron?'" Now, of course, the answer to Elijah's question was always no. Ahaziah was not sinning because there's no God in Israel. God's always the only true God. God never left Israel. See, it's just that Ahaziah had left God, and God knew it. So the actual answer to why Ahaziah was pursuing Beelzebub is that he was sinfully ignoring the Lord. Talking about a right spiritual mind. So we're talking about not ignoring the Lord. All right, so he's trusting his life with lies and philosophies of what others claim is true. And this is always going to happen when you start ignoring the Lord. And in his case, it was direct trust in a false God and pure sin. But Elijah's there. And he's like you, he's like me, what we're supposed to be. He had God's word, he trusted it. God gave Elijah more of his word, and God told Elijah, "Tell Ahaziah this. Now therefore, this is what the Lord says, you, Ahaziah, will not get down from the bed upon which you have lain, but you shall certainly die." Well, after Elijah obediently gave God's word to the messengers, he tells them this, they went back to the king. And now the messengers have their own accountability before God. Now think about this. In this case, what are they going to do with God's word? What are we all going to do with God's word? Whether people believe it or not, God expects his word to be respected, to be believed anyways. We're all accountable. This is not why the king sent these messengers out. He sent them to Ekron to inquire of Beelzebub. That's not what they did. They came back. And so this is just a picture that we're all accountable. Ahaziah's messengers went back. They told him, "A man came to us. He met us and he said, 'Go return to the king who sent you. Say to him, this is what the Lord says,'" Yahweh. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're sending messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, you will not get down from bed, but shall certainly die. Those messengers represent people who get the word of God, and then they carry it because someone told them to do so. And you can find such people starting out. They set out on their own ways, but it's because the world told them to do it, told them what they're supposed to believe, told them what they're supposed to do, and being of the world, they just go along with what the world says to do, but then they encounter the truth. And they're told, this is the truth. And they're told the lying world has been involving them in its deceitful pursuits. They're told it's the word of God. This is from the Bible. And so they listen to the truth. They listen to God's word. They believe it. They share it. Ahaziah asked those sharers of the truth what the man looked like who told him this. Well, they said he had a lot of hair and he had a leather belt. Immediately, Ahaziah knew it was Elijah the prophet. Now, at this point, what King Ahaziah should have done was repent and seek forgiveness from the Lord. I mean, he should have gone to God and trusted God with his life. Ahaziah should have sent those messengers back to Elijah in a spirit of repentant pursuit of grace, forgiveness, just basic obedience. But instead, King Ahaziah chose to go out to Elijah in a move of hostility. He sent a captain with 50 soldiers out to get Elijah. Now, you can notice a spiritual pattern in this. You will typically see those who are not walking with the right spiritual mind react in a hostile way to those who share the truth of God's word with them about their lives. I see this all the time. Hostile way. That's because God confronts people with the truth no matter how they feel about it. It's the truth. And I can't tell you how many times I've tried to share the truth of God's word with certain people, and no matter how nicely I try to package it or salt it or try to approach the issue, maybe put a little sugar on it, no matter how I share it, they react in a hostile way. They react to me with hostility. Why? Because they don't have a right spiritual mind. Ahaziah followed the same foolish pattern he had before when sending men to Beelzebub, to the devil, for help. Ahaziah foolishly sent an army to Elijah, this time in a hostile confrontation, demanding the prophet's surrender. But Elijah had something that he wanted to say, because he had nothing to surrender about. He was not at war with Ahaziah. Elijah was not Ahaziah's problem. Ahaziah's problem was his own self. Ahaziah needed to deal with God because it was God who was dealing with him for his apostasy. So this military goes out to Elijah. And now this military and the commander of it represent other kinds of people we know. They're the people who do not respect God. They're everywhere. At work, they're in your family, they're in our government, they're in the schools, they're everywhere. But they do respect something. They respect the world. And so they go along with its banning of God's truth. Just go along with that. And they come against God in their hearts. And so they willingly come against God in everyday life when they're told by other spiritually blind people to do so. It's the blind following the blind. And why do they do like this? Why do they do what this world keeps telling them to do? Because their hearts agree with the world. They represent the world. They are the world. And so that God-rejecting army went out on its mission fueled by a spirit of Beelzebub in their hearts. And they found Elijah. He's sitting on the top of a hill. And this whole encounter is still showing us something about the accountability that every single person has to God. You have to God. That captain there was just as accountable to God as anyone. Yeah, the king told him to go out, but still, all the 50 soldiers were accountable before God. God's the higher authority. And in the eyes of God, it didn't matter if the apostate king had commanded them to go after Elijah. That captain should have done like God expected all his covenant people to do. It's the same with us. And so he should have gone to Elijah like he was going in respect of God's prophet. He should have trusted God with his life for doing what's right according to what God says, not the king. Instead, the captain said, "You man of God, the king says, come down." Well, the captain rightly called Elijah man of God. But that captain should have acted in belief about what he was saying, should have approached God's prophet in contrite respect, respect of God, not demanding surrender. And so since they didn't approach Elijah with respect for God, Elijah approached them in respect to God. And Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 soldiers." And then fire came down from heaven and consumed all of them. The army was just as impotent in demanding God's man submit as the empty pursuit of seeking Beelzebub was. But back at the palace, King Ahaziah still had not learned his lesson. And this is so enduring. People pursuing empty pursuits of the world. Still, those who are pushing them are not learning their lesson. They don't learn their lesson. You know, he should have received God's rebuke in all of this. Got the message. I mean, who in the world can call down fire from heaven to consume? Elijah had already done it before in other instances. So this king should have sent out a messenger to Elijah in peace with a message of true repentance from the king. Ahaziah had family examples to lean on for this. Ahaziah knew that his own grandfather, Jeroboam, sinful Jeroboam, had sinfully sought to kill the man of God who prophesied against his pagan altars. So here you have this family tree. He knows this about what has already happened with his grandfather. Ahaziah knew his grandfather foolishly stretched out his hand, told his soldiers to seize that prophet, somewhat like Ahaziah is doing right then with Elijah. So what did Ahaziah know? He knew his grandfather Jeroboam's hand withered right there on the spot. He knew that Jeroboam then, very important, asked the same prophet to pray to Yahweh for him to be healed. And the prophet prayed, and Jeroboam was healed. So Ahaziah was raised knowing all that about what happens if you just humble yourself and go to God. Quit trying to fight against God. It's all about faith. It's a faith issue. So Ahaziah also knew how his father, King Ahab, his own father, had done evil in partnership with his pagan mother, Jezebel. He knew Elijah, this prophet, told his father he's going to die because of it. But Ahaziah also knew that when his father, King Ahab, heard it, he prayed and he humbled himself before the Lord. Ahaziah knew that's when the word of the Lord came to this same prophet, Elijah, and God said this about Ahaziah's father, Ahab. God said to Elijah, "Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days. I will bring the disaster upon his house in his son's days." Well, Ahaziah is the son now. And he knew all this. So he even knew that this is the prophecy that has him as the son in it. And now it's the days that God promised to bring the disaster upon King Ahab's house. So Ahaziah had example after example after example of what happens in true humbleness before the Lord, turning to the Lord. He saw that God has mercy on those who repent, trusting in God. It's a trust issue. Ahaziah never trusted God. Even after this fire destroys his soldiers, even after knowing about this whole thing about his family, all the experiences with Elijah, all the history of Israel. And so now, like those grace moments, the ones that he had to his relatives before him, the previous kings, Ahaziah should have asked Elijah, "Intercede for me to be healed." Instead, you know what he did? He continued to treat him like an enemy. And he sent out more soldiers to Elijah. Ahaziah should have prayed and humbled himself before the Lord. So he sends these guys out, and it's going to bring this ultimate disaster upon himself. You just know it. He sends another captain with 50 soldiers to Elijah, and this captain did the same thing because he didn't respect God. Remember, he's accountable. The whole military team preferred to follow the king instead of God. And they already knew, these guys going out, what had just happened. So this captain says to Elijah, "You man of God," the king says, "come down quickly." So here we have a deja vu, a moment. And again, Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, may fire come down from heaven, consume you and your 50 soldiers." Fire of God came down and burned up the whole army. And amazingly, after all this, and knowing what Elijah had already prophesied about the king's refusal to go to God and trust him, Ahaziah kept acting like what he was doing was just fine. You know, rebellion against God is a blinder. So he sent another captain. Really, he did. He sends another captain with 50 soldiers. Three times he's done this. And so on this third time, this captain represents another kind of person. He went out, but he went out in respect of the Lord. And he went out operating as he was going to seek God for mercy. He acted humbly. He trusted God with his life. The captain got to Elijah with this right spiritual mind, because that's what we're talking about, a right spiritual mind, trusting God. And the events of life, remember, they're like spotlights that open up where we are with our spiritual hearts. And so this guy gets there, and he bows down on his knees before Elijah. And he contritely says, "You man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Fire came down from heaven before and consumed the first two captains with their 50 soldiers, but now let my life be precious in your sight." Now, of course, the captain wanted his life preserved. All right, yeah, he's a wise person. But there's also something different about this commander. He had respect for the reality of our one true God, the prophet that Elijah represented. He is also coming, showing this, that, and he sees that God always knows everything about us, and this is so true because God always knows when he's being respected with the right heart. He sees. And so what happened at this moment is that the angel of the Lord, which biblically is a manifestation of God, told Elijah, "Go down with him. Don't be afraid of him." Well, there's no reason for Elijah to be afraid. Why? Because God said not to be afraid, and because the commander and his men were all in a right spiritual mind. So Elijah went with the captain. He goes to Ahaziah, and now Elijah's there before King Ahaziah. He's physically sick. He's bedridden. But Ahaziah's bigger problem was that he was spiritually sick. Elijah, on the other hand, is our picture of being spiritually healthy. This is the one we're wanting to emulate here in terms of our lesson from the Spirit. Elijah. Elijah was doing what you're called to do in your relationship with God. Listen, walk with God in faith in your love relationship with him. That means going to him and trusting him consistently when you are pressed into confrontations. And like Elijah, the words you get from God are part of your relationship with him. And so you see, Ahaziah and Elijah woke up that morning going through the process of day-to-day living, just like we all do. And they're working through the calendar, just like you. And now they're there, it's the same day, but on two different heart paths in their spiritual lives. So Elijah uses the word of God. That's what we're supposed to do. It's what the Lord says to everyone. And so Elijah says to Ahaziah, "This is what the Lord says to you. Since you sent messengers to inquire Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, and yet is there no god in Israel whose word you could not seek? Therefore, you will not get down from bed, but you shall certainly die." He just keeps repeating the same thing over and over and over again, because you don't have to get complicated when you have a truth from the Lord. Just stick with it. Trust it. Now again, sadly, we get nothing from Ahaziah about repenting, nothing about going to God and seeking to trust him with his life. You know, originally, his heart was set out on inquiring of Beelzebub about recovering. Come on. Beelzebub doesn't show anyone anything but lies. God told Ahaziah the truth, and he showed him the truth. God's always been speaking the truth. You're going to die, but not because you fell and sick. No. You see, that could have changed. It could have changed if Ahaziah had gone to God after he fell. It could have changed if he had trusted God with his life, turning his back on all the sinful idolatry which cursed his life. But instead, Ahaziah died because he foolishly and sinfully went to Beelzebub and trusted him with his life. Kept rejecting the Lord over and over and over. His life was opened and his spiritual state was exposed. And so my urging to you in whatever you are going through in your life at this time, and you know what it is, we always go through difficulties, is to do what God's already called you to be doing. To be doing already. That's your example from Elijah, which the New Testament in James tells you is a man with a nature just like yours. That's why I say he and us are a picture of one another. Walk with God in faith that he's walking with you. That's Elijah. That's what God's called to do. That's the right spiritual mind. Have complete confidence and comfort in going to him and trusting him in everything. Be instant about it. Each moment. Trust him. Don't allow his relationship pattern to be rare. Don't allow it to be random. You know, live this way from moment to moment, day after day. And when you encounter difficulties, where you are going to be as you do this, you're already in the place. See, you're already there where your spiritual life has been exposed. See, and so it's being exposed no matter what. This is what's going on. So keep an eye out. Know what's going on. You can figure this out through a biblical barometer. You know, when you go through those times, you can see the pressure of your spiritual life. You see it all the time. We fall apart under pressure, but where do we turn when we fall apart? That's what we're looking for. You know, you can see what's going on with your spiritual thinking. And so ask yourself, am I intentionally seeking to manifest the life of Christ right now? Am I trusting God? It's what you're already called to do. So be doing that with your life already. And then what do you know? That the right spiritual mind is already there when the tough times arrive. And they will arrive. The calendar just keeps clicking through. Might be a great day today, but what's going to happen tomorrow? They're going to come. And so as you're going to God and trusting Him with your life as your spiritual habit, the barometer is going to show you that you're trusting Him no matter what the days bring. And that's what God wants. And that's what you need. Amen?